everybody. Special edition of the Super Brothers Podcast. We're doing a creator spotlight with Carissa Grant today. I'm your host, Red, of the C-List Villains. And then I will be joined by, after the stream, Mr. Evil Fett, a.k.a. Mike.
Good morning.
Well, we'll give the more info on, because he's sort of our fifth Beatle. Our fifth Beatle now.
I'm the Hush of this group.
Well, tell people a little bit about yourself, at least in comics perspective.
I've been a comic book fan all my life. That's how I basically learned to read and write, I guess. I love comic books. The Defenders are my favorite book of all times, with Strange, Hulk, Namor, and Nighthawk. So there we go.
And then I take it you have a huge collection in that house of yours, right?
I'm going through it right now, and it's long box after long box after long box.
All right, so if somebody's looking to buy his collection, because you might be letting it go soon, contact Mike. And so we're honored by our guests here, because definitely finding about this book is pretty dope, and she reached out to us and wanted to jump on our show. Let me introduce to you,
little drum roll.
Hi,
Carissa. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
It's our pleasure.
Hey, K-Bob. Everyone in the audience.
BTS. Hey, <Robert. laughs>
Thanks.
No, they're all like trickle in. You know, it's early Saturday morning, so you figured they're all doing chores too.
Well, it's afternoon for me. I have five interviews. You're my second one today.
Oh, nice.
Just curious, where are you located at, Carissa?
I'm in Tennessee.
Tennessee. Mm-hmm. That's where all the angels, devils come from, huh?
Yeah. We're surrounded by them.
I guess we're going to jump right into it. I mean, Carissa, tell us about your title of Redemption, and give us a little background on, I guess, the beginning of the arc. Just to catch sure. people up.
So, Worthy Chaos Redemption is the first series that I wrote and produced and getting it done. There's 50 issues written already for this series to complete it. And it's pretty much Buffy the Vampire Slayer meets Supernatural and Silent Hill and the Resident Evil world. We have demons, angels, Anubis from Egyptian gods, vampires, zombies, hellhounds, zombie mermen, pretty much anything. Five today. Somebody had a cancellation, so they called me. To start off the beginning of the story, so book one is what we're in the middle of now. I guess we're past the middle, but we're in issue six. And it's 1-7. And in the very beginning, it follows Serafina, who's an angel descendant, and Draven, who's a demon descendant. And it starts off with them as a teenager, as a flashback. And you get to see, you know, they're going to run away together. And her brother goes and kills her parents and attacks her. And she calls Draven and tells him not to come because he's trying to kill her. And, of course, the first thing Draven does is come to the house. She jumps out the back window. He comes in the front door. He slips on her blood and calls her. She turns around and gets hit by a car. And then he gets arrested for her murder. And yeah, that's our gruesome two pages. So this causes them to be separated for 10 years. They both think the other one's dead. She trains as a supernatural hunter. He trains as an assassin. And they are, you know, pretty cold-hearted because they think that the love of their life is dead. So then angels and demons need them to be together because she was created from an angelic weapon that has the power of souls. And they're trying to get this weapon from her so that they can tip the scales in heaven and hell's favor. Her father, the angel, has another reason for it, but he's using the war as an excuse to get it. And pretty much it's them attacking our poor, their poor children and throwing everything they have at them. The angel controls Anubis, and he's been sending Anubis after them. Draven's father sends the Hellhounds after them, and right now they're trapped in this town that's being merged with Hell so that they can't get out. And all these things are pretty much attacking them. They have no idea. They don't know that they're angels and demons. They're soulmates that have been through different lives together, but they always forget, and they just always, you know, attracted to each other and have that connection. And right now we're in a mini series section during this whole apocalyptic hell town, where issue 6 is the conclusion of the 3 little mini series inside. So 4 to 6 is where we introduce our subspecies of vampires, which is the Clotters. And they have a couple of unique features. One, their heart beats once every 6 hours. So it's just enough to keep off rigor mortis, which gives them this very thick clotted blood. Now, because of this blood, they need more nutrients than a regular vampire. So they can't feed off of an animal. They can't feed off of a blood bag. They have to feed directly from a human, or they start to deteriorate like a zombie. The only problem with that is that when they're turned into a vampire, they still have their soul. So a lot of them might not go and kill a human just to survive. They'll just deteriorate. So for the species to survive, they only turn the most ruthless people they can find, murderers and sociopaths and everything like that. So you have this incredibly ruthless set of subspecies. But not only that, they have this very annoying habit that if they bite you or taste your blood, they can track you anywhere you go, like a homing beacon, no matter what. And if you kill one of them, the entire nest will go after you and kill you. And there's nothing you can do to stop them. So in 6, they're going after the nest before they can come hunt them down. So that's pretty much their goal, is to try. They don't know how many are there. It could be 5, it could be 500, but that's the goal of what happens to them. So
it seems like you've taken every aspect of supernatural and gods and monsters from all around the world and like amalgamated it into this book. Is that what I'm getting at here?
A lot of research has gone into this, yeah.
I like the idea of having a subspecies of vampire,
because Clotters, yeah.
It's not that I just finishing off All of Us Are Dead, that show, and like how is this zombie still able to keep her human features versus the zombies are already rotting and
bleeding.
So it's like, okay, it looks like you've taken some parts aspects of that and it applied it to yours.
We actually have 3 different zombies in this series. Wow. Well, actually 4, if you count that the vampires can turn into zombies. So you have that aspect. You also have, because they're merging with Hell, the zombies that you see in issues 1 through 7 are from Hell. So it's kind of like Dawn of the Dead, where the Hell's too filled and they come back. And then in book 2, you have, they're trapped in a haunted asylum. And the whole place is haunted and there's dead bodies there. And those zombies are actually possessed by ghosts. So they're being animated, but they're from the ghosts that are doing it.
Wow.
And then book 3, you have Resident Evil type. They're infected. There's a reason that they're infected, but that comes at the end of it. But they're infected, and they're trapped in a zombie-filled city with 2 other survivors, and they're trying to get through this city that's completely, you know, full of zombies. So you have that kind too. And then in 4 and 5, you pretty much have all of them, including, you know, the ones that come from Hell and all that stuff. So, we have different forms of the, you know, and I've done a lot of research. Like, for example, our vampires can go into the sun, because originally in mythology, the sun didn't bother them. They just didn't go into the sun because they were shadow creatures. Some thought that they were albino, that they couldn't, but they didn't just flame up, you know, when they went in there. Ours doesn't go into the sun unless they're going for revenge, and then they will do anything that they have to do to get you. I don't know where garlic came from, so garlic doesn't affect them. I refuse to accept mirrors, because I understand back in the day they said that the mirrors were made of silver, which is pure, so they couldn't be seen. But a rock has no soul, and it's in a mirror. So right. I never liked the mirror thing. As for inviting them in, that is different lore. We don't have that, because that would be too easy. And the other thing is, in mythology, staking them through the heart did not kill them. It pinned them to the coffin so that they couldn't rise, you know, to get you. So the only way to kill ours, The best way is decapitation. You can burn them, but if you know about burning bodies, it takes about 30 to minutes to an hour. It's not like, but you can kill them through fire, but decapitation is the best. And yes, she says Fabio did two of my covers and they are awesome. And that was in issue 5 that he did an Anubis cover. And in 2, he did a bar fight cover. So
tell us about your crew that drew the book and created.
So my artist is Jonas DaCosta. He is absolutely phenomenal. All those panels that you see are him. I write how many panels I need. Usually I scaled it back for him because I used to have like 5 to 6, but he likes to show action. So I had a compromise and now I'm back to like 3 to 4 is generally what I use. And then he turns those into like 9 amazing panels. Like he does all of that. This is his first paid job. He has never worked on comics before. He gets better with every single issue he does. And as for the writing crew, so I am the main writer, if you want to call it the main writer, but I lead the story. And I couldn't do it without my co-writer. So I don't like saying main, but I lead the story and I write for Serafina, all of her thoughts, her actions, her speech. It's all what I write. And then my co-writer writes for Draven. So Draven, all his thoughts, all his actions, all his speech, that's all my co-writer. So you have these completely different personalities that you're reading. My character's a lot like me. She talks way more than she thinks. It's a habit I have. And then Draven thinks way more than he talks. So he's the one with more thought bubbles than she does. She has mostly thought bubbles like when she's, you know, being stalked by the vampire and she's trying to trick them. You hear her internal struggle. But generally it's Draven that's the thinker. He's got a lot of internal struggle because, you know, he obviously loves her, but he's a killer, an assassin. He doesn't feel like he deserves her. And, you know, he's got all that. And she doesn't think that she deserves him because she's the worthy chaos. She causes everything to happen. Her angelic blood is the cause of all of this. And Draven always tells her it's worth it. So the title's after her. She's the worthy chaos. So no matter what she causes, he still loves her and wants to be with her. But they have this conflict where sometimes she tries to leave to keep him safe and he wants to leave to keep her safe. And they're just completely drawn to each other. So they just go through this. They're Romeo and Juliet in hell. That's what they are.
I'm curious. I've read it and it's great. It's kind of got more of a dream sequence. I didn't know if it was happening now or is it happening in a dream or is it happening some kind of linear moment.
The first part of it is her flashback. So it's technically a dream, but it really happened. So that's what happened when they were dating. And then when he has his little flashback, it's because she enters the town that he's in. So the weapon sets off his dream and you see his part of that night. So everything else is really happening. They're really in town and they're really dealing with all this. He thinks it's a dream. You know, he keeps saying, oh, you're a dream. You're going to disappear. I mean, they thought each other was dead for 10 years and that really, you know, kind of messed up their head there.
When you're collaborating with all your co-writers and the artists, do you guys sit down? Are you on Zoom? And now who leads that meeting?
Just okay. Me. It's just me. We'll sometimes talk out ideas, you know, and we'll be like, I had this idea. Do you want to do this? I kind of want to see them go through this. If my co-writer has an idea, I will add it to the story. And we go back and forth. Like, well, she'll have one idea and then we'll grow it. Or I'll have an idea and my co-writer will just be like, oh, we could do this. So together we came up with the ideas, but she has no idea what I'm writing until I write it. So I don't know what the hell I'm writing until I write it. I will just sit down and write it. Sometimes I'll have a dream and then that'll be it. And then I'll add that in. We have a spinoff series that all started from a dream. So we have 50 issues for this series, but the spinoff is 45 issues already written and done.
Wow.
And that is a what if. So, like I said, they were separated for the 10 years. In the spinoff, they're not separated, and they run away as these teenagers. And at first, we did it as a joke because we're like, oh, they lost those 10 years. Let's give it back to them. Not even thinking like, oh, what could you do, you know, teenagers? But then we realized everything's still chasing her. Everything still wants to kill her. And now they have no supernatural training, no knowledge of the supernatural, and they and he's not an assassin. So there's just these two lonely teenagers. Hello! Two lonely teenagers that know nothing about any of this. And it turned into this incredible growth, character growth, where you see them bond even more. You see them go through from these wussy teenagers to these fighting badass characters. So it actually became a really good story. And it's we're hoping to release that eventually, too. And that has a lot of zombies in it, too. But the angels and demons come out sooner. There's more creature fights and stuff like that. So,
You get a more origin background with that. Spin-off.
Yeah, and we also have a prequel in the works.
You coming from the Bible Belt, there's a lot of religious connotations in this. I was wondering, because of that, is that kind of the driving force of all this thing, all these the monsters and the demons and the and because I when I read it, I knew someone was from the Bible Belt when I was reading this.
Yeah, so the whole thing that started this, so I was a role player for 15 years. I role played as Claire Redfield from Resident Evil 2.
Nice.
And that's how it started. I was obsessed with Resident Evil 2, and I found out about role playing, and they're like, be whoever you want to be. I was like, Claire. So that's how it started. But for 11 years, I held on to this story because I found out about Remnal, who is her father in this, but he is the angel of judgment. So he's the one that would go to Earth, take the souls, judge them, and then take them to heaven. Now, me being the weirdo was like, how does he carry these souls? Are they in his pocket? Are they in his hand? So I created this angelic weapon. So he would store that weapon full of the souls and then transform it to heaven. Now, the demon, which is Draven's father, they're not together in scripture, but in his mythology, it fit so perfectly. He is not only a chaos demon, he feeds on souls from the Judgment Bridge, and he's immune to lightning, whereas Remnal's power is lightning. So that just two of them just fit perfectly.
Right.
And that's my co-writer. My co-writer found the father of her character, and it fit so perfect. It was scary. And we also didn't realize, and I wish I could take credit for it, because I didn't realize this. However, it found out that Remnal is also the one that sinned against God first with creating a Nephilim by having a half angel, half human, which Serafina was created from him and his goddess wife because they could not have kids. So it was created from the souls of humans, and it was created from both the god and the angel and the goddess that was her mother, and that's how Serafina was formed. So she is our version of the Nephilim, if you want to call it that.
Right.
She's a lot prettier and smaller, but yeah. So it all started from Remnal. You can blame her father. That's how it all started.
Your little friend in your lap. Is that a security blanket or what?
So this is my emotional support, Anubis. He is a plushie that I had made. He's actually available. There's two left. He's available in our Kickstarter. I do limited edition, so this was 8, and there's two left. And then we love plushies. So this is my zombie merman that I have, which is also for sale. This is our skeleton bird. It's sold out this time, but I'm going to have two more made, and we'll have that in the next one. And then this is a deer demon that's on the background of my panel. So this is the deer demon with his petticoat. His name is Furfur from mythology. He's a dark cupid, but my character Draven pissed him off, so now he's pretty much bad. So there's the merman. Yes, the queen of plushies. The hellhound is complete and will be arriving before the next campaign, which is October 3rd. We have a campaign generally every other month, except for around Christmas. We skip a little longer. Issue 6 is currently now on Kickstarter, which you can find by searching Worthy Chaos. It is the number one best way to find it. And then October 3rd is going to start the issue 7, which is already done, and 38 pages of story. And then book 2 will start January 23rd, which we're hopefully going to have the – yes, you're going to love the Hellhound, I know. We're going to have – and I'm also getting – we have handmade statues.
Wow.
And the Hellhound is getting done as we speak. I didn't do it earlier, but he got popular, and you haven't seen issue 4 yet, but Anubis plays Fetch with the Hellhound in 4. It was not intentional. There was just this – one of the Hellhounds' leader got beat up and pushed out of the pack by Draven's father so that he can control the pack. So now you just have this lone Hellhound named Croc that has nothing to do or nowhere to go. So he brings Anubis a stick. Anubis doesn't know what to do with it, so he tosses it away, and the Hellhound brings it back. So now in the rest of the issues, you have this Hellhound following him, sometimes with a stick, sometimes not. And it just created this other personality with them. And if you want to show the video, you're welcome to show the video. It has the song that we had written and performed and sung just for our characters. And it's the lyrics are on our page. And you can get it as a download for, I think, $3. You get the instrumental version and the vocal version. And we have a zombie song being made as we speak that should be ready for the next book.
All right, let's take a look at the video. Let's take a look at the video. All right, hold on. Let me hit play. Here we go.
Actually working on a new animation for book two, so I've just decided while I'm watching this now that every book is going to have a new animation. So
sweet. I mean, look at it, like, I swear, like, Draven is like an amalgamation of Sam and Dean.
Yeah,
you also have the car. You said similar car as it's a show from
They actually stole Baby from the bar in issue 4. They hotwired it, and in 5 they open the trunk and they're like, who the hell's car did we steal? Because you see all the weapons and Lucille is in the back and all that stuff. So yeah, we like Supernatural. I am hoping to one day be able to afford to license Supernatural so that I can have them do a hunt with Sam and Dean. I'm literally becoming an LLC only to do that because Warner Brothers, they won't let you license unless you are an LLC. So
okay, I mean, they do need more further adventures from when the show left off, right? And seeing how the first season of the Winchesters that really didn't make it, so I was like, man, I'm kind of wondering.
Yeah, they canceled that, I believe.
It did. It didn't catch fire like the original show.
Yeah.
Darwick is a the book is a little bit like Robert Kirkman's Walking Dead style. Is that supposed to be that way, or is it just happened to be that's the way that's
it just drawn? Happened to be that way because I'm actually, and I hate to admit this, I have never read the Walking Dead comic book. I heard that I should, and my brother yells at me that I don't. So I will probably have to get on that. I was never one for black and white, so I never got into it, but I've been told that it works. We need more sex and demon shows. Yes. Yes, we do. I did see an animated first issue of The Walking Dead, and I was so jealous. Like, I want to learn how to do that. My whole goal, in whatever years it takes me, I want this to be an animated series. I don't want a show. I don't want a movie. Maybe an animated movie just to kick off the series, like, you know, anime does. But I think an anime series would be a rated R for violence. Rated anime series would be awesome for this series, for, in my biased opinion, anyway.
Netflix, if you're watching, contact our girl Carissa right here for an option.
Carissa, have you been promoting this in cons like San Diego Comic Con or local cons in your area?
I have, but I don't do well at cons. So there's a couple, the local small ones I've done great, but the bigger ones are too loud. Even for an Italian, you know, I have a really hard time getting my voice across and explaining the story. And it's not as easy as I thought it would be. But once they come to my table, they generally will buy the book. Like 90% of the time they will buy it. But getting them to my table, I haven't gotten my megaphone out yet and be like, come look at my table. So it's been a little bit harder, but the quiet ones where they could walk around and they come back, I've done really, like Nashville, I've done very well. I sold enough for like 2.5 times my table or whatever. And,
wow, that's and that was great.
The
best.
And the nice thing about that was, except for two people, everyone bought this, that I brought 1 through 3, everyone bought the set 1 through 3. Okay. So it's because I'm lazy. I'm not bringing and dragging all those comics. I'm like, buy 1 through 3 and then go on my Kickstarter. So I only got 1 through 3, but a lot of people did that. They bought 1 through 3 instead of just buying just number one, and it worked out really good. I had two people take the picture with me, which is very ego and boosting. And then I had one or two people buy an extra one for me to sign and one from them to read. And I'm just like, that it helps the ego help a little bit.
It's what we're trying to get at. As far as like Comic Con is concerned, I mean, if you can find yourself a quiet spot in the convention floor, I think you'd be able to lure the people in.
Yeah, or a panel. Like someone said, when do you know you've like made it bigger? And I said, if I ever get asked to be on a panel, I would. That would be like my you made it moment. Like, oh, I've been asked to get, even if it's my local one, just to be asked to go on a panel and be like, ah. So we'll see if that ever happens.
And then what's the meaning behind a Worthy Chaos?
So the Worthy Chaos, how that was named was, and we didn't name it until I started making comics. We didn't really have a name for it. So her blood creates the chaos. So she's got angelic blood. It attracts everything negative to it. And she always says to Draven, I'm so sorry that I caused this, or I'm so sorry to drag you into it. And he always says, you're worth it. So that is pretty much what he always says. So at the end, I was like, so he kind of considers her all that chaos worth the trouble. So I decided to call it Worthy Chaos.
All good series come to an end. And this one will come to an end. And my question is how will you end this? Will you end this in a cliffhanger, or will you end this in like some apocalyptic boom or what?
So
or will never end.
I'll tell. Okay. So how series one will end. There is an ending, and there's a warning that says, do not read the epilogue if you want it to end, if you want like a nice ending or whatever. But if you read the epilogue, it goes into pure chaos, and then it goes into series two. And series two, we've already started. We're like 10 issues in. It's the same characters, but they have a new mission. Because of what happened in the other issues, the angelic weapon was part of it got destroyed, and now the only way for it to exist is to use her as a battery instead of the gems that were on it. So now they have to find replacement gems for it so that it doesn't completely absorb her into the weapon. So that's what they're doing. And there's a lot more mythology in that one. Like, this is mostly Christian mythology. You know, Anubis is thrown in there. But the war actually starts in series two. So you're going to have heaven and hell against our characters, working together against our characters because of something that happens. And then, so the only people that they have team up on them are other religions. So you have Hecate and Hades from Greek mythology and their army of zombies. And then you have Anubis and his mummy zombies. And they're going to be against heaven and hell and some Celtic creatures as well. So my characters don't like this. They've been trying to fight mummies and zombies the whole time, and now they're side by side for them. So, there's kind of a lot of conflict going there, but you don't really have choice when you have demons and angels after you. So
right.
you can get, but yeah, so there's a lot that happens in series two and stuff.
How much of the research you do before writing the story, then, if you're going to have to check out every religion and mythology?
Well, most of the research was done before because I had a huge interest in it. I like to learn the different ones, especially Egyptians and all that stuff. But yeah, I don't do anything without looking it up first. So, for example, there's a part in book two. Is it book three? I forget my own books. I think it's book two, and they fight a shark. And she hits the shark in the nose, which is always a mythology that we've read. I mean, a myth, you know, so I had to look it up, like, does that really work? And it does, but not as well as like puncturing the eye or the gills or something, but I had to make sure it worked. And there was another thing in the sewer where it was like a combustible generator kind of thing. And I had to learn, which was not easy. I had to learn how this worked so that I can see if what I want to do would work. So I had to find out how this machine was built, how would it cause the explosion I want, or how to set off this explosion, what can make it go wrong. And the other thing I did in issue 7, she uses a rebar to stake one of the demons. And I had to look up to make sure there was iron in it, because iron's the only thing. And there's 99% iron. So I learned that there's 99% iron in a rebar. So yeah, I do research before I do it. I've always that person that watches a movie and be like, that wouldn't happen. I'm that
right,
idiot
right.
that everyone hates, you know? So I watch a lot of movies like CinemaSins or Pitch Meeting or any of those things to kind of get used to like the plot holes. So, I do try to prevent, obviously there's going to be some we can't think of, but we like to cover the plot holes, and do that stuff. So yeah, I try to do as much research as I can before I have my characters do something stupid.
There's so many subsets of horror movies out there. I'm curious, because I have a feeling you're a big horror fan.
Yeah.
What subset is your genre? What subset do you like the best?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, Nightmare on Elm Street?
So my first
the 80s slasher movies then, right?
Yeah, yeah. I like the 80s and 90s movies a lot. My very first horror movie ever, I was 6, and it was the Nightmare on Elm Street 3. And it was specifically the scene where he's using the guy as a marionette.
Right.
And I was fascinated by this. My second movie was Cujo, and I was fine with it until I went to a park that had an incredibly muddy, giant St. Bernard running around like a nut. I was like, I gotta go. So that one might have affected me a little bit more. I do work with dogs, and I am a groomer, but I will tell you, I do not take St. Bernards. And I'm not going to say that's the reason. But I don't take big giant dogs that are St. Bernards. I have Easter eggs in all of my issues, which is fun and exhausting at the same time to try to figure out what I can put in there that isn't licensed and going to get me sued.
Right.
And it's usually horror games or horror movies or urban legends, supernatural, Resident Evil, all that stuff. So the Easter egg in issue 1, I tell everyone, they never see it. It's the crocodile in the sewer. And there's a couple of reasons why it's there. On the outside, it's an urban legend. On the inside, it's supernatural when they fought with Loki and it had the alligator. But the real reason is, the reason why I have these comics is because I played Resident Evil 2. And the reason why I played Resident Evil 2 was because there was a 4-second part in the commercial where this crocodile comes out and attacks Leon. And I don't know why that got it, but I literally went out to buy PlayStation 1 to rent the game to play it based on those 4 seconds. So that is a little homage in there.
Well, issue 2. Resident Evil just for the shark attack. You know what I'm talking about, right?
So yeah.
I'm there with you.
Yeah. And the Easter egg in 2 is the typewriter from Resident Evil 2.
Right.
Like, all the Resident Evils, you got to type on the typewriter. So there is an Easter egg in each one. And I can't tell you the rest. 7's the hardest. But the reason why, when the graphic novel comes out, whoever finds all the Easter eggs first and posts it gets a 3D statue of Anubis.
Oh.
So, yeah. So, yeah, Resident Evil 2, anyone that loves Resident Evil 2 is going to love Book 3. And it's so funny because I'm obsessed with getting to Book 3, which is it's issue technically 16, the fun starts. So I'm like super excited to get the 16. The, you know, I have them scripted and all that stuff. So I forgot how awesome 2 was. So like I'm doing the scripts for 2 and it's like, there's zombies in there? I don't remember like half this stuff. Because I'm just so obsessed with getting to Resident Evil 2. But yes, book 2 is really good. And they're all connected. So they just, they're kind of different environments. I always hear, is it continual or is it different? Now they're continual, they're 5 books continually. But like book 1 would be Silent Hill. They're stuck in Silent Hill. Book right. 2 is, there's trap. It's kind of like Resident Evil 1. Our nemesis and ours is, Anubis, just so you know, he takes the place of the nemesis. So book 2, they're trapped in a haunted asylum. So it's kind of like Resident Evil 1, but it has the, giant salamanders, which are kind of like the Licorice right. from Resident Evil 2, but we have ghosts and zombies in there. And then book 3 is 10 issues. It's longer than the rest. The first one's 7, the second one's 7, and 10 issues for Resident Evil. And then that's pretty much them in town trying to get out. And Draven does not like the other survivors because he gets jealous of the guy there. And all this stuff happens and they try to...
It's kind of like a love interest between another guy and...
Yeah, it's like a triangle. Yeah, yeah. But we just like seeing Draven jealous because he's fun when he's jealous.
And so what platform do you have? Do you have a PS5? I'm just curious.
I don't. I haven't bought it yet. I have PS4 and 2 and 4. I did just find out literally yesterday at a client's house that there's a game called Dead by Dawn that you can be Leon.
Yeah.
You can't correct. Be Claire, but you can be Leon or Jill and Rebecca. So I have to now get this damn game and I have to get it now. So now I'm like, great. Another thing that will take up my time that I should be doing, you know.
Well, you should throw out your gamer tag so we can jump in and play with you.
I will buy the game today and that will happen. She was showing me all of the you know, getting the generator and I was like fascinated by this. And I love that the you could be one of the villains and I'm so excited to play this game that you have. I'm going to do the PC version. But I will definitely throw it out there so people can join in and play it. I'm hoping they come out with a Claire. I think there's a skin that's a Claire, but to me, that's not the same. That's cheating. I need an actual Claire Redfield, but I'm fine with Leon for now. It was Leon and Claire, so I'm good. And there's a Chris too, I think. Or is that a skin? I don't know.
So you're working with having a soundtrack for each issue now? Or
yeah, every book. Yeah. So this book is the song that we have, Worthy Chaos, appropriately named. And then 2 is in the works now. It's a zombie song, which technically should be for book 3, but I just couldn't wait for zombies. So we have zombies for book 2. And then book 3 is probably going to be like an apocalyptic song or something. And 4 will probably be a song about hell. And I haven't decided on 5 yet, but we'll do something. So I want a new song for each one and I want a new animation for each one. So the new animation is I'm working on it. I actually sent some out today to get quotes. And it's going to be issue 1 animated. Yeah, good. I'm going to have a whole army with me.
See, I told you.
I literally just heard about this yesterday and I get really obsessed with stuff. So this will be an interesting thing to do. Like I was there while I should have been working. So I was like, oh, I should probably go or something. But yeah, so the new animation, there's my artist did the artwork for issue 8 yesterday and it looks already animated. It has Serafina shooting a zombie in a straitjacket in the asylum. And then you have a zombie about to grab her from behind. So you have the chandelier looking like it's moving and you have Draven about to cut the zombie in half with a sword. So my artist is like, it looks so animated. And I was like, it damn well should be. So now I've sent it out to a couple of people and I've gotten a couple of quotes. So that thing will be animated, and I'll have that in the videos, hopefully by January for everyone to see. So I'm excited because I'd love to see my characters animated and all that stuff. So
do you have any music? I'm assuming that you're a metalhead, right?
I'm. Why do you assume that?
I don't know, because.
I like some metal. I like, but I like it all. Like I do. I do like some country. I would never say that out loud, but I do okay. like some.
That's our secret. We'll cut yeah. that from the air.
Yeah. you'll have to bleep that out when it airs. But I mostly listen to more upbeat music. My husband is a drummer. I'm actually in his drum room. I don't know if you, I don't know if it, I don't know how, there's his drum.
There it is. There's the kicks.
He actually has four sets of drums.
My goodness.
Yeah, his limit's four. That's why he only has four. this one is, I don't know who knows drums, but it's a Tequila Sunrise, and it was like his dream drum set.
Drum kit?
It's from the 70s or something. Tequila Sunrise.
From my era.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's like an old soul because he wasn't even born until 86. But so that's actually one of the first things I bought him. And it was actually meant to be because I found, they're very hard to find, especially complete. So we found one, I don't remember which one it was, the Tom Tom or something. We found one on eBay and I bought it. And then I was calling around to find the rest and I found one, some other state. And I said, I'm looking for the whole set. And they're like, oh, well, we only have the three. It's missing the Tom Tom. I was like, well, done. So it actually was the complete set. And yeah, he has that. And now he just got his own collector series that has copper. Pretty copper drums. So yeah, it gets pretty loud around here.
Came from Step Brothers, where you're not allowed to touch the drum set.
Yeah, I don't touch the drum set. No. Even if I buy them, I'm not allowed to touch them. What's up with that? But
oh,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. But, Let me ask you a personal question. You feel very comfortable in front of the camera, and I don't know if this is your first show you've ever did or your last show you ever did, but you seem to be very comfortable. So my question is. As when you're promoting this, is it natural or did you have to like deep down gripe in your gut and pull it out?
Funny story. When I first started this, I am the most naive you can get. Like, I think my literal words were, how hard can this be? It is incredibly hard. Don't anyone do this. It is incredibly hard to do. So worth it. But I was totally naive and I made a Twitter account last year. And I didn't put if I was a male or a female because I didn't know if women would be looked poorly on being in horror. Like, you know, like, oh, she doesn't know what she's doing, you know, whatever. So I never told anybody. So I got called bro and all that stuff, which is fine. But then I met another zombie chick and I was like, oh, I was like, what do you do? She's like, I was like, don't tell anyone I'm a girl. She's like, oh, no. She goes, you got to do videos. I was like, oh, I can't do videos. And she's like, yeah, you got to do videos. And I was like, no, that's never going to happen. This is like my 90th video. So I've gotten more comfortable. Now, I only started this 9 months ago. But in the 9 months, I've done about 90 interviews. And I still freak out before every single one of them. But so far, they go pretty good. I've only had two out of those that I would never do again. I would say in this community, it's amazingly supportive. It is 95% men. But all but two that I've met have been incredibly supportive. They help promote, they help get my story out there, they back, you know, my Kickstarters. So I'm very lucky about the community that's there. And I'm really glad that she just dragged me out of the darkness and into the video light. But yeah, I think I've done, let's see, my first campaign I did like 20, the next one I did like 42, the last one was 33, and I think I have like 20 for this one. So, and then those are all the live ones. I've done like some regular ones. I love the live ones. They're my favorite. Cause you get to, I can't really say that I like all of them, but when you're live, you get the ADD version of, you know, the really cool right. things inside and all that stuff. And I love to see people that have questions or get excited about what they hear and all that stuff. So live is definitely my favorite. Yeah.
I don't know if they still do it, but like you'd be perfect for a Walker Stalker con where it's all
exactly.
zombies.
I have never heard of this.
Wow.
This is a convention?
Yes, it is. It's a convention. I've been to several. They're great.
And are you dressed like a zombie or is it just?
I am a professional cosplayer. That's my forte. So yes.
Nice. I have not. I'm not going to lie. So my first stint with comics was the 90s, and it was Ghost Rider. And I haven't touched a comic since the 90s, and now I only buy indie. And then anime conventions were the only thing I did in the 90s, and I have not been to them since until this current year. So I used to cosplay as anime characters, like Dietlit from Lotus War, but or Kagome from Inuyasha, but I have not dressed up as any zombies or anything such as that. But now I kind of want to.
You definitely should. Walk. I didn't think about that, Red, but Walker Stalker would be perfect for her to promote her stuff because it's the genre. You got the geeks that already love that stuff, and you'd be right in there.
So is this like in different states, or is there a specific state? I'm going to have to look this up. The Walker Stalker?
It's a traveling con. Yeah, it's a traveling con. It goes to multiple states.
Yeah, oh, here we go. K-pop says, do a zombie Kagome.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That'd be cool.
I could do that. Let's see. Walker Stalker. Oh, that's The Walking Dead. That's different. I'll have to find it. Walker Stalker. Here we go. Conventions. No, that's Walking Dead, too. What the hell?
Yeah, they're all Walking Dead conventions, yeah.
Are they Walking Dead or Walker Stalker? Is it the same thing?
They're two different things, but
they're mostly Walking Dead fandoms.
Yeah, the fandom from Walking Dead. Because I met what is his name, Daryl Dixon. I can't think of his name in real life there. He's a little tiny man. A little tiny man.
Wow. I have not met anyone. No, that's not true. I met Aaron Ross. His name's Ross.
Yeah, Ross McCall. Yeah.
I met him at a con and got his picture taken with him. But mostly I hung out with Supernatural. I've met all the Supernatural people. I've taken pictures with all the Supernatural people. And I even hung out on a cruise with Misha. So it was like they don't do that anymore, there was like a 5-hour, 6-hour and he danced he danced, and he had dinner with us, and he talked about doing word what is the word Scrabble game that a dyslexic like me would never touch, but it's like a
word,
like
a word. I don't know, I'm dyslexic too.
Yeah it's like a word Scrabble thing that they do, and I was like, no, that's never, what is it?
Words with Friends?
Words with Friends. So he used to do Words with Friends, and he's like, oh, we could do Words with Friends. It's like, no, dyslexics don't do Words with Friends. I'm so bad at spelling that when I was a kid, my parents would give me the little spell checker, and it wouldn't get the words. That's how bad I was. So now Google is my best friend. Word is okay. And if I can pronounce it, which is 30% of the time, my computer, my phone will do it. Be like, how to spell this? The good thing is that I have a thesaurus in my head. Like, I know all these big words. I don't know how I know these big words, but I know all these big words so that I can't spell them while I'm writing. I dumb it down. So I used to have to dumb down my writing, but now I can dumb it down and then look up that words, you know, that go with that word. So as much as technology is kind of destroying our nation, it is very helpful for writers for me. So. Yeah.
All right. Let's we got about 10 minutes left here, and I want to make sure we squeeze this in. So we have a little game that we like to play here on the podcast where we get casted for a role in Carissa's book, and she's already given us the page and the was this the right page? Oh, let me find it. And then the character's about to read from. And
You have the demon is Asmon, which is Draven's father. And the angel is Remnal, which is Serafina's father. And just because they're angels doesn't mean they're nice. They're both assholes. So you can choose which asshole you want to be. The red is the demon and the gold is the angel.
Well, great. I have the asshole shirt on right now.
Perfect. I know. I thought about that when you said you were going to do the, I was like, you're perfect.
So give us a direction you want us to read it and what kind of voice.
So the demon is very sarcastic and probably a little bit more, you know, rough. And the angel is more proper sounding and pretty much more steady, but you can hear he sounds incredibly annoyed. So the demon is kind of making fun of the angel, and the angel's just completely, utterly annoyed that he's even in the same presence as this guy. So there you go.
Get ready to laugh because this is going to be funny.
We'll try to do our best. Yeah, okay, so ready, Mike?
Not really, but I'm going to try my best.
Okay, all right. All right, so we're reading about two from page four till, let's see,
four, five, and the top of six.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Holy smokes, Batman!
Okay, there we go, and
good luck.
All right, there we go. Oh, too bad the cult leader was so close. For an angel, you're way worse than any demon. You know that? Putting your own daughter through this? Oops, sorry. There you go. Go ahead, Mike. If you could read it.
You forgot. No more. Oh, no one asked you, Azmuth.
Hey, I'm not judging. That's my boy there. Well, I would kill him if it wasn't so useful, but I'm a demon. What's your excuse?
Not only did you always, Azrael,
assail.
Oh my God! As souls, I judged for heaven, but then having Draven, you are the cause of all this doing. It for Seraphina.
Saranda.
Sorry.
All right, and this page. There we go. Yeah, I did it. Yeah, I did it, cause it. Just go ask Seraphina for help and get me what I want.
She doesn't even know I exist. Plus, the weapon wouldn't work just because I request it to. Now that is no longer mine. Why are you here?
Just to watch. You're that middle one.
Yeah, the angel.
Oh, sorry. You managed
merge.
To flaw. I need my glasses. This town with hell, don't you?
Guilty. I couldn't make it too easy for you, could I? How are you a town spell against angels anyway?
Farmers, angels, remember only
minimal
powers.
Right. Then how did you fake the prophecy? To trick Camille? Even I couldn't do that. You're that middle one.
Like I would tell you.
Fine. Whatever, as long as I win.
You won't win once I have Sauron's back.
Odds are in my favor.
We will see.
And good.
Next time, make sure I have my reading glasses on so I can see those little words.
Yeah, you'll have to read it in reverse next time for issue 7.
All right, we'll raise that in October. So, Krista, how can people reach you and your Kickstarter? I know we have it right now, scrolling on the bottom of the screen here.
Yeah. That actually goes to 5. So you want to go to but when you go to that one, you can go to 6 from the follow along one. The best way to do it is Worthy Chaos. Just go to Kickstarter and search Worthy Chaos. We're the only thing that pops up. You'll see that there's 5 campaigns and they're all mine. You can also find us on TwitX, whatever the hell it's called. And we have 5,300 followers on there. And then we have, I have another 5,000 followers on Facebook. And we also have a group that you can join. It's Worthy Chaos. And if you join the group or any of those, you can see that we post pages and rewards and awards ahead of time and all that stuff. So you could see everything before people. We show you pages before and after colored and all that stuff. So yeah, you can pretty much find us anywhere. If you search Worthy Chaos, we'll be there.
All right. And Mike, what was that, Mike?
I had a little door opening.
Yeah. What happened? Demons?
I my mom guest came early.
Yeah. Oh.
Wow. Okay. Okay, well, Mike, well, tell the people where they can reach you.
On all social media, it's Evil Fed Cosplay on everything except the X. I dropped out of that when Mr. Musk bought that. So every social media, Twitter, Instagram, Clapper even, TikTok, Vero, Tumblr, the whole nine yards, Evil Fed Cosplay. Please, like it.
All right, everybody, you can reach me here on the podcast, The Sealed Spillings. Click like and subscribe on that'll help us with the algorithm. It's all about the algorithm, guys. So it helps us, helps Carissa and her and Worthy Chaos, helps helps Mike on his cosplay endeavors. And you, if you're looking for a cosplay, Mike is your guy because he also makes costumes.
I take commissions. Yes, I do.
Nice.
All right. And Crystal, would you like anything to add before we go here?
Just give the story a chance, because if you like action, horror, any of that stuff, you're going to love it. If you don't like horror or cursing, I would not go for mine. I would avoid it at all costs. But it is it is very action packed, but it also has a lot of character development. So there's something for everybody in there.
Yeah, after reading the first issue, it's definitely, I'm hooked now and I need a buy.
Yeah, it's great.
Good. I'm glad you guys like it.
I love it.
Thanks.
And guys, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you in the next edition of this Curator Spotlight.
C-list villains.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of the C-List Villains Podcast, your cultivators of the comic culture. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and email us at clistvillains@gmail.com. You can also leave us a voicemail or text us at 209-975-7597. Be sure to join Luke Week's Facebook group, Rare Keys and First Appearance Comics. And you can follow us on our two Instagram accounts, C-List Villains and C-List Villains Podcast. Lastly, follow the villains on their separate IG accounts, at Luke Weeks, at C-List Villainous Red, at C-List E-Man, and I am at AJ the Comic Collector. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all next episode.
Hi there.